2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Fear gripped me first when I was 6 years old, climbing up a tree and realizing just how far up I was. Not sure if I could make it down and hoping I wouldn't fall. Fear gripped me again when I saw the scary man that was my father. The damage he inflicted upon me and my siblings, leaving deep internal wounds. Fear caught me again seeing my parents' marriage fall apart. My mother, only $40 to our names, 3 kids and the clothes on our backs, surviving off of a food pantry, eating chicken, lentils, and drinking powdered milk. Fear rattled me again when I was 12, growing older and hating my own body. I wanted to be thinner and remove the Hispanic curves passed down to me by my Latin heritage. By the age of 15, fear was my constant companion. There never seemed to be a moment when it wasn't whispering in my ear, "Estefania, you're not good enough. Just give up. Estefania, you are worthless." As I became older, I feared trusting others. Fearing they would judge the damaged woman full of bottled up insecurities and tears she was too afraid to show. Because to me, showing weakness was defeat. Fear had followed me all my life. Fear made me doubt my worth, if I was strong enough, if I was smart enough, if I was worthy enough. So I ran. I ran as fast and as far as I could. I ran to literature and sports and poetry. I ran from everything that reminded me of how inadequate I was on my own. I drowned myself in work, making sure my heart couldn't catch up to my mind. I ran from God. I ran from Him because to me, running was all I felt I had control over. And submitting that control over to Him, that was too much for my fragile pride. Of course, looking at me back then, you would have never guessed. You see, fear had taught me this clever trick of putting on a mask as thick as concrete. To the person walking by, I was a happy girl, always willing to help when needed and giving a far too easy smile. On the inside, I was timid and hiding, afraid of letting my mask slip, afraid that if I did, my fear of rejection and judgment would be too much. In the Greek mythos, there is a hero by the name of Perseus, and he goes on several adventures, but the one that I want to focus on is his encounter with Medusa. If you've never heard of Medusa, she was believed to turn people into stone just by making eye contact with them. She's even described as having snakes for hair, and in some accounts, the ability to fly. So Perseus has to somehow defeat Medusa, all the while not making eye contact with her. Although we don't have to face any real Medusas, we all have one in our heads. You see, Medusa represents my fear. I feared facing her, and if not facing her fear has taught me anything, is that it makes them seem so much stronger than they really are. Not allowing myself to feel, not allowing myself to breathe, not allowing tears to be shed was turning my heart to stone. My attempts of running made me slowly turn cold. My constant self-judgment made me want to crawl back deep into my shell and never come out. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." When reading this verse, I was revalidated in something I had known all along, because Medusa was defeated. She was brought down simply by showing her own reflection. The seemingly big and scary monster wasn't taken down by a sword, but a simple mirror. Calling out fear for what it was and showing fear that our God has made us to be so much stronger, so much more able. The whole time, I was strong enough, I was smart enough, I was worthy enough. While I ran from God for fear of the things that I wasn't, He reminded me of what I had always been, His child. And yes, I had grown up in a broken home, but that was no longer my identity. Yes, I had grown up with little, but God made me rich in Him. When looking back over the verse, we see that God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We have the power to lean on Him, but we must remember and have the self-discipline to actually do it. And most of all, we have to love ourselves. Because I suddenly felt free from sin and from fear. I was, I am, and I always will be enough. Because if my God allowed his son to conquer sin, he most definitely conquered fear. So I want to encourage you today to stop running. Show fear that it is nothing compared to who your God is, and that he has the capability to free you from it. What are your fears? What are your doubts about yourself? Are you timid? I want to remind you that you are, you were, and you always will be enough through him.
For most of my life growing up, I defined fear through the lens of a phobia. A fear that's really specific, that's really powerful, that is, most of the time, not rational. I remember seeing people react to rubber snakes or people freak out because they were somewhere high. But I never really resonated with that, and so I never really thought of myself as a fearful person, that I'm just not afraid. But my definition of fear was really challenged and ultimately changed in the spring of 2016. It was the afternoon of March 22, and I got a phone call in my office, and it was from the office where my wife was working. It was one of her coworkers on the phone saying, "Hey, look, we don't know what's going wrong with Rachel, my wife, but we do know that something is going wrong. One minute she was feeling fine, and the next minute she's not doing okay over here. She can't stand up, and we're just not sure what's going on. And you should probably come and check it out. We really think you should come over." So as I took off and I headed over to where she was working, I was thinking about, man, what could be going wrong? Was it something that she ate? Was it some kind of nervous system malfunction? Like, I couldn't really put my finger on what it could be. But the one thing that never crossed my mind in that time going to her office was the possibility she could be having a stroke. But after a pretty intense afternoon going to the hospital, after a night in the intensive care unit, the next afternoon we were there hearing the neurologist tell us, "Yeah, yesterday you had a stroke." And even though the next couple of weeks were difficult, that it was hard to watch my wife learn how to walk again and do a lot of basic things again, even though the next few months were difficult with some frustrating physical therapy, at the end of it, it looked like we were going to return to normal by God's grace, that she was going to make a full recovery. But even though our lives did return to some sense of normalcy, something in me had changed. Something in the way that I saw life had really changed. That I wasn't afraid of something super specific, but there was just this cloud of uncertainty that I took with me wherever I went. That there was a sense that for no reason, and in just the time it takes to snap your finger, that life as you know it can change. And I began to just carry fear with me wherever I went. I began to try to account for it, but it just became a part of me, that in each situation I saw how fragile the moment could be, the risks that it presented, and it really began to hold me back. I don't think it's any accident that Scripture talks about fear a lot, that over and over and over again people will wrestle with fear and doubt, and over and over and over again God will go through pretty tremendous lengths to quiet their minds and quiet their fears. And there's this story in John where Christ is with his disciples in the upper room and they've had dinner and he's prayed with them. And then he tells them, "Look, I'm going to pull back the curtain for you guys and I'm going to show you the future. That if you're afraid of the unknown, I'll make it known." But the future is unsettling. The future is scary to them, and they begin to react. They begin to react with fear. And Christ tells them something pretty surprising. but also it begins to quiet their minds and reinstill their confidence. And he tells them, look, I told you these things so that you would have peace in me. That in the world you're going to have trouble, but you don't have to be afraid because I've overcome the world. Later on in scripture, there's this guy, Paul, and he's been going around and traveling and telling people about Jesus, and it's really been costing him. He's been beaten and he's been put in jail, and he's been put in all kinds of situations that are uncertain, that present a lot of risk. There's been some times that people thought he was dead, but he's in prison and things are not going well. And he writes this letter to his friend Timothy, and he tells Timothy, look, this may be it for me. I may not make it through the winter time. And this is the last letter that he would end up writing to his friend Timothy. And he tells Timothy something pretty powerful in the midst of that moment. In the midst of the moment where there's so much uncertainty and there's so much risk to his personal well-being. And he tells Timothy, God's spirit is not timid. That there's no room for fear in God's spirit. He tells Timothy, look, I need you to come out and visit me. That I'm not doing well, and I know it presents risk to you, but God's spirit isn't timid. Throughout my life, having this shift of fear being based in phobia, I think for now fear is more rooted in uncertainty, and my confidence gone missing, and just being consumed with an awareness that life is fragile and it can change. I'm willing to bet that I'm not the only one to be struggling with fear right now. To be feeling like my confidence is being tested every day, to feel like there's just an enormous amount of risk, or to notice that life is incredibly fragile. But it's through stories like this, it's through listening in on Christ talking to his disciples, it's through a man sitting in jail writing a letter to his friend that I have hope. To know that when I go through these moments that are difficult, when I go through these moments that are hard to understand and that shake my confidence, that God is not absent. So I don't know where you're at, but I do know this, that when life presents you with risk, when life presents you with tragedy, when life presents you with difficulty, God is not missing. But rather, it's a moment where God can be more fully known, where he can be most tangible, where he can be most present for you. And for me. So I want to encourage you, God's spirit is not timid. Don't let fear hold you back. Instead, ask God to make himself known, and he will.
We're all fearful of something, right? Fearful of taking that new job, fearful of going to a new place, fearful of joining a new school. Fearful of death. There's a multitude of different things that we all are fearful of. See, for me, when I think about the things that I'm fearful of, I'm fearful of bees. I'm afraid whenever I hear a bee buzzing in my ear, I immediately get squeamish and I immediately want to run away.
See, I'm also fearful of heights. Whenever I'm standing on, whether it be a hill or a high mountaintop or top of a building, looking over just gives me that squeamish feeling inside that I just feel like I'm gonna fall over the edge or something. And I'm also fearful of the unknown. See, I don't know what tomorrow may hold, and sometimes that just gets me a little bit anxious. Let me tell you a personal story about how fear almost got the best of me. See, a friend invited me up to this obstacle course. And immediately when I got on this obstacle course, I looked around and I checked out the track. This was a 5-mile track. And I looked off into the side and I saw that there was this 20-foot jump off into a lake. And as I said earlier, I'm afraid of heights. And immediately when I looked at this thing, I said to my friend and I said to myself that this is something I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna jump off into this lake. I can't do that. But anyway, I started this obstacle course and I started to jump through the tires and climb through the mud. And immediately when I got to the end of this obstacle course, I was met with this 20-foot jump off into the lake. And my friend climbed up before me, and he jumped off into the lake, and I climbed up after him, and I was looking off, and I was standing at the edge of this this 20-foot jump, looking over the edge at my friend off in the lake and other people swimming around him. And I immediately got that squeamish feeling inside, that fearful feeling of, I can't do this. So I immediately asked the instructor to my left, and I said to him, you know, can I just go back? Can I just walk back down, climb back down? And he turned to me and he said, no, the only way off is to jump off into the lake. So I immediately conjured up the strength within, and I decided to take this leap of faith, this jump off into the lake. And I jumped. Immediately when I got into the lake, I realized, and immediately my fear subsided, and I started to just realize to myself that this wasn't as bad as I thought. See, what this story represents for me is what God could be calling so many of us to do. And that is, instead of letting fear hinder you and keep you at bay, is actually to jump out on faith and trust Him. There's also a verse that hits home with me, and that it resonates with me very deeply, and that is 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And it's right here behind me. It says, for God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. To me, this verse tells me that God did not create me to fear. So when I think of all these fears that I may have, whether it be a fear of bees or a fear of heights or a fear of the unknown or what tomorrow may hold, that I can pull through all these fears that I may have. So fear could be what is standing between you and what God has for you. So don't let fear hinder you or overtake you.